UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Our friend Dominic from the Superstars says, "Hey, Bob and Nick, Luis Rojas is a class act and a super nice guy. Happy to see him get the Mets job, hoping for the best for him. Always loved chatting with him at major league games we've done over the years." So he would know firsthand. So there you go. I don't understand what that means. This one says, "Why can't Nick read the correct score of the UK game? We still love him, though."
Well, I said 86-79.
What was it?
It was 89-79. I was getting my script up.
Hey, so, put that mixtape, getting the script up.
89-79? How the hell? I don't feel like that's mixtape worthy. But
no, getting my, getting my script up.
Oh, okay, fine, yeah. But sure. Then I clarified.
All right.
Definitely an error.
What the hell would you like me to do now?
I'd like you to talk to Neil Greenberg. Right, he's online, too. Him?
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Washington Post, he's been a regular of ours. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Here's Neil Greenberg. Neil, how are you?
I'm great. After that intro, can't live without me. Yeah, mutual.
Hey, the Super Bowl, you know, is coming up. It's not this weekend. It'll be the following weekend, but it's coming up. And people like to wager on it. So even though there's going to be a lot of changes between now and the game, well, not a lot, but some, what are some of the early wagers that have caught your eye where you say, I think I'll be taking a close look at that? Any come to mind?
Yeah, so I spoke to the director of trading at William Hill this morning. They had the Kansas City Chiefs open as a pick'em. He doesn't see it going anywhere further than the Chiefs being a 1.5-point favorite. He does not think San Francisco will be favored at all, though they did take a $100,000 bet on the money line on the 49ers for the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big big wager, and I think, you know, it's interesting. I think San Francisco is obviously the more balanced team. I'm a little surprised they're not favored. I think a lot of that has to do with how explosive the Chiefs' offense has been. But this 49ers defense is the real deal. I mean, from top to bottom, they can get you. So far, I'm leaning towards San Francisco in this one.
All right. Well, there you go. And you just wrote something that for some reason, maybe I didn't pay my bill. Well, I can't get up on my screen here, but 49ers think big Week 12 win over Packers has zero relevance in the playoffs. So, I mean, I know that you're talking about probably in relation to them playing the Packers, but it leads to a broader-based question. How much of the comparative scoring and stuff can you do that's relevant to try and figure out what's going to happen in a one-game situation like the Super Bowl?
It's really hard, and I've been struggling with that lately. I mean, you have these two teams which are very efficient on offense. When you do all your adjustments for strength of schedule, they're the third and fourth best team overall in the National Football League. Now, obviously, they have different strengths and weaknesses, but look, we've seen this time and again. I mean, it comes down to a lot of little things, turnovers. It comes down to mistakes. It comes down to penalties. Whoever plays the most mistake-free football tends to win. And I think that this one is really tough to figure out. But in terms of, like, what's happened before, you know, they're one-game samples. They're just coin flips almost, and it's really difficult to use that with any sort of – look, it's difficult to use a 16-game regular season in any meaningful way. That technically is a small sample size of games. So when you cut that even further down to one or two matchups, perhaps during the regular season, or even worse, like that happened, you know, 5 years ago, I think that it has no relevance to what we're going to see, not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, how about this? It's kind of a, I don't even know if you'd have an answer for this. In previous, based on previous Super Bowls, what does history show us are the best bets to make? So you can bet on almost anything in the Super Bowl. I mean, so what are things to be good about and what to avoid?
Well, I think you want to avoid the coin toss. I know, because you don't get good odds on that. I think you want to avoid like the exotic bets, right? Like, you know, how long will the national anthem be? I mean, that's really just, you know, you're guessing at that point. I think the player based props are way more manageable. In terms of, you know, how many yards will Jimmy Garoppolo have? I think I saw it was going to be about 200 and change, but he hasn't really passed in the playoffs. He went from 30 passes per game in the regular season. He had, what, 9 against the Packers on Sunday in favor of the running game. But I think that I would probably take the over on Jimmy Garoppolo only because I think the Kansas City showed that they can stop the run. They stopped Derrick Henry in the regular season finale, held them to like 68 yards. They made a huge adjustment because he nailed them for like, what, 180 yards in their first meeting. So I think the running game won't be able to get as much yardage as it did against Green Bay. I think Kansas City will be ready for them, which means I think it's going to be Garoppolo and probably Kittle to do most of the work. So prop bets like that I favor way more because I think there's a lot more educational guessing that goes into those as opposed to just wild guessing as to, you know, how long will the national anthem last.
What, talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, what kind of a game do you expect? High scoring, defensive minded? What are you looking at, you think?
I think it's going to be competitive for a little bit, but then I think San Francisco is going to make a second half adjustment and take over. We've seen Kansas City fall early. Obviously, they had the miraculous comeback 2 games ago, but I think Kyle Shanahan's a way better tactician. I think he'll be able to make better adjustments. So I think we'll see a competitive first half, but then I can see things getting out of hand in the second half.
Wow, that's a little throwing a little shade, as the kids like to say, at Andy Reid. What's that about?
Well, I just think that Kansas City is... they're mostly an offensive team. I know their defense has gotten better after the bye week, and I know Andy Reid's a very good coach. But, again, I think it comes down to which team is more balanced, and San Francisco is not only balanced, but they're very good on both sides. And I think that Kansas City, you know, I don't want to say that they were lucky to make that miraculous comeback when they were down, what, 21 in the first quarter to nothing. But you can't rely on that. Especially not in the Super Bowl. So I think if Kansas City falls behind early, and then it allows Kyle Shanahan to either use his run game if he wants to, or just use his tight end like a running game, right? Because Kittle will catch balls and kind of get you 3, 4, 5 yards down the field with the possibility of breaking for 20, 30 yards. I just see this as I'm pretty high on San Francisco in this game.
Well, there you go. I gather that's pretty interesting. I'll have to take that under advisement. Let me ask you a couple of other general questions. One is this. I understand that he's really good, and I'm not even here to dispute that they're right, but the announcers were just so matter-of-factly that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And around here, there are some people that say, well, you know, our guy's MVP, and he's still a kid. So if you were starting a team, I'll ask you two ways. Who is the best quarterback in the NFL? And if you were starting a team, who would you take as your quarterback, Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
I'm going to go in a completely different direction. I think Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL. But if I'm starting a team from scratch, I go with Mahomes only because he's the more traditional passer. And you and I have talked about this on your show before. I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he had a fantastic season. But we also saw that you can game plan against him, right? You can neutralize his strengths. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he 2 years in the league are as good as any 2 years that we've seen. He won an MVP award, like you said. So I think Russell Wilson, best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's got some challenges as from his coach in terms of how he's used and how the team performs overall. But if I'm starting a team from scratch, I'm probably looking at Mahomes over Jackson.
Why do you say the way his coach uses Russell Wilson? In what way? What do you mean by that?
I don't really think that two things. Number one, I don't think that Pete Carroll maximizes Russell Wilson as a passer. You look at he puts Wilson in a lot of situations to be the hero in the fourth quarter, when I think it would be much more prudent to make him the hero in the quarters 1, 2, 3 and not really have to worry as much as coming from behind in the fourth quarter. And two, I think the offensive line for Seattle has been really bad for a number of years and has put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits, a lot of sacks over the years. He's a mobile quarterback for sure, but that offensive line has been a turnstile at times. I just think that Russell Wilson, if he's in a different situation, would probably be a lot better. And that's saying something, because he's arguably, what, a top five quarterback in the NFL right now.
Let's I'm kind of wrapping up on that here, because I'm just curious. I'm hearing all this talk, I mean, about high-profile quarterbacks, and we don't know what they're doing. Is there, where's Tom Brady? Is he going to go anywhere, do you think? Is Breeze going anywhere? What's the landscape for? There's some big names that are going to be possibly floating around. Will they be floating around? What do you make of that?
Yeah, this is going to be there's going to be a lot of changes at quarterback. I mean, you talked about those two names, but also you got guys like Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill is coming off a great year. You have Dak Prescott, who's a free agent that, you know, no one's really talking about because they think it's predetermined that he'll stay in Dallas. I'm not sure. I guess I'm like most people. I find it very difficult to see Brady or Breeze in different uniforms, and I feel like if they want to come back, that they'll come back to the teams that they're already on. I don't know. There's different rumblings this time around with Brady in terms of his contract. He's been very vocal about not giving discounts or not, you know, taking a financial hit at the expense of the team, as perhaps he said in years past. But I think that's all bluster. I think he's either going to be with the Patriots or he'll retire. Mm. Same thing with Drew Brees. I think that these two players are with their teams for life, and I'd be very surprised if either one of them went someplace else.
All right, we shall see. Oh, yeah, that's what I'll do. Thanks. Somebody sent me a hockey question. I'm not going to ask you a hockey question. I'm sorry for the four people in our audience that would give a right
answer. All right. Well, I know a lot about hockey, so it'll...
Well, you be preaching the choir. My son played college hockey. I love hockey, but I'm just saying we're also people. We do have people listening to us. Oh, by the way, this I found interesting. I think this is in your paper, or you wrote it, or both. But Daniel Snyder's trying to get more money for another stadium, or what is that all about? What's that?
That was he's actually, I didn't write the story, but we like you said, we published it. He's trying, extortion is not the right word, but what he's saying essentially to Maryland is, I'll think about staying if you give me a sports gambling license. But I definitely won't stay if you don't give it to me. He's kind of struck out in terms of getting public financing for a new stadium, which is kind of hard to believe since the franchise is worth $4 billion and he just spent $100 million on a yacht. but he's, you know, he's really trying to push and I guess hold you know, the public sector's feet to the fire to get a new stadium. The stadium lease runs out in 2027. But I'm not sure it's going to fly because, one, I think that any commitment of public funds for the team would have to come with a name change. I don't see them as diverting public funds to a team with a controversial nickname. And two, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, he's got a lot of money. He's worth a lot of money. The NFL is worth a lot of money. The franchise is worth a lot of money. These public stadium deals rarely work out for the public. So I think that, you know, a lot of it is just him posturing. But he's certainly trying to stick it to him, to Maryland, that is. And, you know, he's tried to shop it around to Virginia and D.C. as well. But so far there's been no bite.
I mean, that's a relatively new stadium. I lived there when they built it. And what's the rush to get out of there exactly? And especially as UB Brown, the great UB Brown likes to say, you can only walk when you've got some place to walk to. He doesn't have any place that he can go right now, does he?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been to FedEx Field, but it is logistically a nightmare.
Oh, it is.
Unless you're willing to fork over the $50 to $70 to park there in the parking pass, it's about a mile walk from public transportation.
Oh my God!
And you know, when you're talking about the winter weather in D.C., snow, rain, it's a horrible, horrible experience in that regard. So he needs something that's a lot more accessible from public transportation, and I think he just wants a more modern – he wants a dome stadium is what he wants, and then to pitch that as a multi-use venue. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think if they said you can have all the money, you can have everything you want if you just change the name, you think he'd entertain changing the name?
I think he would have to, only because I personally think that's the only way he can get it. And even then, I just don't see the public financing being a large portion of it because, you know, it's just a lot of money. And he's worth a lot of money, and a lot of people, you know, just don't like the way he's handled the franchise. So I think that'd be the only way. That'd be tough. I think he'd have no choice. But it would be a unique situation, one that I would look forward to covering.
Neil, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you. Hopefully we'll catch up with you soon. Be well.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Neil Greenberg. I'm watching while we're talking last year's Duke-Louisville game. I am dumbfounded they lost this game. I'm watching right now. They're up 23 with 9:40 to go. And Duke can't make a shot. Louisville's just blitzing the ball all around the zone. The entire arena is giving them standing ovations. How the hell did they lose this game? I mean, I broadcast it. I was there. I just saw myself. So I can vouch for the fact. I can confirm I was there. But and when you watch it now, it just seems impossible. I mean, they held Duke to 36 points in the first 31 minutes of the game, and they're ahead by 23. How the hell did they lose this game? It's really unbelievable. We're closing in on the 9-minute mark, and they're still up 23. I mean, I'm watching it, and they don't look panicky. They're under control. They're moving the ball. That's great ball movement. Ryan's got a wide-open three, and he misses it. And then they get another rebound. They're killing them on the glass. I mean, they're just killing them on the glass. They drew a foul on the rebound. They're kicking their ass in every facet of the game. I mean, it's not just they've outscored them, but they're moving the ball. They're dominating the backboard. They're defending them. They're running the break. I mean, I guess Zion had foul trouble. Is that right? He must have because he was out. He's just come back. And now maybe – but they just took Barrett out. Maybe he kills crazy Zion. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like cramming an exam. You probably can tell me play-by-play what happens in the last 9 minutes. I don't remember anything other than the huge lead and them losing it. They just missed a free throw. But, wow. If you were watching this, you would take – this would be a lock bet, you know, where he'd bet $100 to win $5. I'll take Louisville plus the, you know – I got a 23-point head start. They just gave up a three there. Now here's the press. But it's still not really bothering them. They've got good spacing. They're still doing fine. I mean, they're still doing fine. They probably should have pulled that back out. Missed a shot, got a rebound. Last year's rule was 30 seconds. They could have killed another 30 seconds. They just had a shot they thought should have been goaltending.
If you allow me time to go.
It's unbelievable.
I could
watch
go run
this.
In the back and flip a switch, and people can relive this misery.
Why would you want to do that to people? They just stopped them again. They're ahead by 20 with 8 minutes to go. There's a high school quarter left in the game, and they're ahead by 20 points in a game where the opponent only has scored 39. Oh, here we go. Now it's starting to get wobbly. They just almost threw it away. Oh, my God, the guy missed a breakaway. I mean, seriously, it's in the literal sense of the word unbelievable. The guy just missed a breakaway layup for Duke.
Okay. Process.
What does he want?
In a typical Philly fashion, just comes running in, shoves this phone in my face. It says, read this spit on the air. Gritty, the lovable mascot for the Flyers, allegedly punched a child. Flyers mascot under investigation for allegedly punching a 13-year-old boy after posing for a pic. Ladies and gentlemen, the city of brotherly love.
Have you seen the mascot? He looks psychotic to begin with.
He does.
I mean, he's only acting on brand. So
maybe he was just fully in character. Who is more in character? Gritty punching a kid or the Jayhawks mascot while the brawl was going on, putting his hands over his mascot eyes and shaking his head. I don't know if you saw that.
I admire the mascot for doing that.
Staying in character?
Yeah, that's what he should do. That's how I felt in my heart.
That's what Gritty was doing. Gritty's always goofy.
Gritty has no excuse to hit a 13-year-old, no matter what the kid said.
Maybe the kid, threw the first punch.
Still can't hit him. Can't do it, Sally.
Well, I don't know what it is about being a mascot. I'm still getting the crap kicked out.
Dumbfounded at
children
this game.
Love wailing on mascots. By the way, it is We Want to Know Wednesday, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to text those in, the Emperor of Wisdom is on one.
The Emperor
of Information.
No, it's Mr. Knowledge and the Emperor of Information. Get their titles right, please.
What did he say?
You said Empire of Wisdom.
Then I said Empire. Just pot him
the
blank
Empire word. Of Information. Hello, sir. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, first off, did you know College Game Day this is my We Want to Know Wednesday.
Okay, this is just
College
a bonus.
College Game Day this weekend is at Kansas.
Oh, my. You're kidding me.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm at Kansas this weekend. I have that game for ESPN Radio. So
Tennessee, Kansas, 4 o'clock. That's the College Game Day.
Well, I'll be there, too. This is going to be an interesting... Interesting scenario. They may be playing with 5 guys, and that may be it. I don't know. I know they wouldn't do that to them, but I don't know how the hell they're going to deal with it. The league. I mean, you got to suspend everybody, don't you? So, what do you suspend them 3 at a time? Maybe I guess you know 3 this game, 3 the next game. I don't know.
I don't know what they do. I do have a We Want to Know Wednesday. I feel like this is something that you and your son will know. So it's probably not the strongest one I have, but I'm going to say it anyway. Did you know that John Elway was once drafted in the Major League Baseball draft?
There was a whole bunch of guys at that era that were. Remember? Yeah, I do remember that. I mean, he was.
He was drafted
by the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he?
He was drafted by the Yankees, and he got a $140,000 bonus, which was more than the number one overall pick that was received that year. That was the last pick of the second round. He also got picked ahead of Tony Gwynn.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Same year. It's amazing how your careers go from one to the other. But and I have one more thing to say and I'll jump off. I was in Vegas last week. Did you know they are slowly starting to change the roulette wheel and adding a third zero
no.
to the wheel?
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know how
Which
I feel about that.
Decreases the odds of a player yes. by a couple more percentage points.
Yes, it adds a little more vig to the house, absolutely, because it's not. That's and why you get paid even money right now, and there's the built-in vig to the house because it's not even numbers of reds. I mean, there's even numbers in reds and blacks, but it's not half the numbers on the table because of the zeros. But now, what are they going to have, single zero, double zero, and triple zero, I guess? I don't know.
That is correct. Wow. That is correct. I was none too pleased, and the answer I was given was, we have it this way because we can do it.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to do.
That was their answer.
Well, but you know what? There'll be some places that'll be a marketing thing. I'll bet you there will be some casinos there that'll advertise, you know, just double zero roulette. You know, you always have somebody who's looking for an edge. But, wow.
Is it still going to pay even money?
Yeah, of course. That's how they're building more vig in for themselves. Unless somebody does that, maybe. I don't know. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Emperor.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what else, by the way? I've noticed they're doing away with... one of the games, which one was it? It's not. Is it Let It Ride? I can't remember.
What's Let It Ride? I don't know that one.
You bet. You get three. They 5 cards on the table. You get and then you get 3 cards, and then there's 2 that I think are communal for everybody. And your first 3 cards are over, and you have, you know, let's say it's a $5 table. You have 3 $5 chips up, and then you can. You turn over your 3 cards, and you have to have jacks or better, or tens or better, I think it is, to win. And so after your 3 cards are over, you can take $5 back for the next one, or you can let it ride. And then they turn the 4th card over, and it's the same thing with the last chip. So you have to keep at least one $5 chip over. You can't wind up taking all your money back. But you can. The beauty is if you get a nice hand at the start, you obviously leave all 3 of your chips out, and then you can win a lot. So that's... is that the one? I noticed there's one. By the way, I'm watching how they're losing this game. Cam Reddish is starting to go out of his mind. It's down to, but still, it's 16. They're up 16 with 6.5 minutes to go. I mean, and they're playing a zone. They're not even pressing them. They start missing, and they just made another 3. Who was that? Was that Dwayne? Sutton, right? Sutton just made a 3. They're up 19 again. That should have been the one to calm you down. You know, that's how you don't make up any ground. You make a 3 and you give up a 3, and Duke just made a 3 and gave one up. It's there's Zion going inside. He's going to get a lap. Don't foul him. Don't foul him, you stupid. The guy's a building. He's got you beat. Let him make his layup and live to fight another day. That's dumb. That was dumb foul. Let's see who I can call out on this. Who was that? Enoch. Steven. Steven, you're a bad boy there. No good. Anyway, so that's, yuck. The good news is they got it done this year. The MLB is going to use more robot umps for spring training.
I was about to bring that up. We're definitely going to have to ask the umpire segment.
We're getting there. I mean, that's where we're leading to. So you might as well just figure out the best way to do it. There's going to be some grumbling at first. There's going to be a lot of low pitches that are strikes by the way the mechanism is set up. But people will adjust. Oh, and then CC just got stripped in the backcourt, and then they just got a layup. And now it's down to that was a big play. That was a very, very big play. And now they started getting excited. That was the one that got them all excited. The clean strip in the backcourt. Two very dumb plays in a row. Enoch's foul and then CC getting stripped. Now it's 14 with 6 minutes to go. Now, as I always say as a coach or even when I broadcast, now you feel like you got a chance because it's 14. If you can get it down to under the 4 minute timeout where it's down to 7, you got a shot. You definitely have a shot. Ideally, you'd like it under 2 possessions, so you'd like it under 6. But they went on a 12-3 run in less than 3 minutes there. So there's that.
Couple things. Intern Spunky's back here, and he was watching. He's like, this is when he thinks Louisville started playing to not to lose rather than to win. Kind of lifted on the gas pedal a little bit. And also Moon, who is the one who wanted you to ask Neil Greenberg about some hockey.
Yeah.
Our buddy Moon Mullins is listening. Moon. This is a We Want to Know Wednesday. We were talking about the Emperor of Information, Bert Head Ryan,
right.
Called in and said that John Elway was drafted by the Yankees. Well, in that same vein, Tom Glavine was actually
I've talked to him about that.
Yeah, he was a great, great hockey player.
He was very good.
Fourth round,
yep.
69th overall. Nice.
By who?
I think I could be wrong. I think it was the Rangers. And he was picked ahead of Luke Robitaille.
Well, there's always that.
Prominent Ranger and King.
There's always a guy who got drafted. I mean, look at all the people that got drafted got drafted ahead of
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. I mean, right. So there we go. Let's see who he was drafted by.
Kings. It was the Kings?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought it was the Rangers.
He was drafted by the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, Moon texting in Kings. Thank you.
We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday. Let's see.
We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday. We want to know
Wednesday. There's a ton of stuff here. I kind of just want to take a little short break here.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
All right.
We want to know Wednesday. Did you know that since its birth in 1776, the United States has been involved in, and I put in quotes, war for 228 of its 244 years? There's been less than 7% years of peace or no war.
Damn.
As John Lennon said, give peace a chance. That's hard to believe. That's a little depressing. Hey, Dominic says, take it easy on beat up the mascot talk.
No, I don't like it. I was a mascot. I'm telling you, everyone needs to spend a day in the shoes. You know what? That's my thing. It's going to be my thing. When I become president of the world, one of the things I'm going to instill, Israel has a mandatory two-year service period, like all citizens have to serve in the military for 2 years. I will say that everyone has to serve in the service industry for a year, because I'm telling you that will make everybody nicer, everyone more patient. Once you have to deal with asshats and everything like that, seriously, there is a camaraderie of people like in the service industry. Like as a server, if you're running around, you're spilling crap everywhere because you're busy. Someone who's like, hey man, I'm a server. I see you're overwhelmed right now. It's cool. Just wait. They'll know when to order. It'll just, I'm telling you, it'll be great. But here's my other thing. Here's my caveat to that, to Dominic's point. If you don't want to serve a year in the service industry, you can serve 4 months as a mascot. Because the hell they endure. Holy sweet mother of God. I was Clifford the Big Red Dog for one book fair, and I still can't blink in unison anytime I'm around books. I got hit in the jewels by more children, I swear. And I, you could put that on the mixtape. I don't care. It's the truth. I got the ever-loving spit kicked out of me. Now, was it partially due to Jamie telling everyone that I was in there and yes. getting his little band of cronies to hit me, knowing I couldn't hit him back for
Absolutely.
Once?
Absolutely.
Possibly. But he wasn't even there one time, and I still got the spit kicked out of me. I was Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Who doesn't want to hit Clifford?
That's what I'm saying. He's not even a punchable mascot. There's punchable mascots. Clifford the Big Red Dog is not one.
Wow, this is really Ridiculous. Interesting. Guy says, Gritty was banging a trash can with an Astros logo on it last night. It was
That
hilarious.
Was funny, yeah. That his social media game is incredible.
I'm watching how Louisville's pissing this game away. Now I understand
I'm going to have to turn that off because you are so distracted.
Well, because it's unbelievable the stuff they're doing. Dwayne throws a ridiculous cross-court pass. The guy steals it. He's going ahead of the court to score it. Dwayne hustles his ass off and blocks it, which drives Kay nuts. He thinks it's a foul, but it's a hell of a block. And then CeCe gets picked again, just gets his pocket picked again. Clean by Zion.
Well, weren't they pressing and no one was moving for him,
well,
too?
Well, now they've got the deer in the headlights look. So now it's down to 10 with 5 minutes to go. But, they, I mean, they had a couple of plays that should have gotten you back on the rails. The Sutton block should have got him on the rails. The Sutton three from the corner. I'll be honest, I didn't realize CeCe had some really bad decisions here. Much too cavalier with the ball. So, but anyway, I can't watch. Can't watch.
Do you want me to put something else on? I can put
Here's some more sad news. Morgan Wooten has passed away.
Oh, he has?
Yeah,
oh, crap.
As of today. 88 years old, and I liked him very much. He was a very – he was good for the game. You know what? To me, and modestly I'm telling you that I've had some people say that to me. That to me is as high a compliment as you can get. Hey, you're good for the game. Morgan was good for the game. Sent over a dozen players to the NBA, over 150 scholarship players to college. Fantastic. Here we go. Here's what we want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday. Bubble wrap was they did know. Do you know bubble wrap was originally invented as wallpaper? It's like that.
We want to know Wednesday.
We want to know Wednesday.
I feel like it could look cool for like until people run into it.
Guests came over and started popping the crap out.
Yeah, really. Also, some sad news.
Sad news.
Well, Terry Jones of Monty Python, one of the six members of Monty Python, passed away at 77. He had dementia. John
guys.
Cleese.
You know, they were all, I mean, they were, one was more brilliant than the other. Yeah. They were like med school students. They were, your uncle Todd Ant, mm-hmm. Knows everything about them. He actually went over there and saw where they filmed the shows. He is a diehard Python head.
John Cleese had a heartfelt tweet about him saying that it was remarkable how he, as brilliant as he was, he just kind of faded away so quietly. But he put at the bottom, two down, four to go. So two of the members have passed, four are left. Very sad.
I don't like the four to go part of it.
Well, that's very much, I feel like, in the whole British stiff upper lip, you know, gallows humor sort of way.
Let's see. I agree so much with what? Oh, here we go. Guy listening in St. Pete. I agree so much. This is a great sentence that has not been uttered on the show before. I was the slush puppy in the Gaslight Parade for a few years in the 90s, and those little SOBs beat the hell out of me. What is it about that? And yes, especially in the stomach, and that's putting it high.
I don't know what it is about kids. I never beat up a mascot. I was an ass in a lot of ways. Typical little kid stuff, being an ass. But I don't think I ever beat up a mascot. I got to take this call. I don't know who this is. Hello, ESPN. Nick Valvano. Hello.
If you didn't sign up for health insurance, you can still get involved now. Just call me. I've got great plans available.
Nope. Anyone there? Wow. Nope. It's just dead air.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal?
Probably.
Yeah, so you can't put them on the air. You're breaking rules. You're boring the listener. But you know why we did that? Because we had to get a spot in there for Jablonski's Funeral Home. You kill him, we chill him. Don't forget. Got a special this week. 2 for 1. If you go, see if you can get another family member to go with you. It's Jablonski's Funeral Home, where values are middle name.
Speaking of, we might as well just go to the top here. I wanted to do a speed round. And one of the things in the speed round, it was just going to be a bunch of... Oh. You thirsty there, bobblehead? Who is that again?
Kaywood.
Kaywood. I kept wanting to say Leland Conway, and I was like, I know that's not him. But
a lot of people that confuse Leland Conway with Kaywood Ledford.
They both kind of sound like the name kind of sounds similar. Okay. But anyway, no, the speed round, it was just going to, there's a lot of stuff that I just want to get maybe like a minute or two on. Starting with Mr. Peanut dying. What the hell? I mean, I'm assuming this is some dramatic.
Well, I just, yeah, we definitely, you're right. We definitely need to spend a minute on this. People say, well, you're not talking sports. Who does Louisville play tonight? Georgia Tech. Who did Kentucky play last night? Georgia. What's the capital of the, what's the peanut capital of the world? Georgia. So it's timely. So there's that. Mr. Peanut, there's a spot out there. There's a spot on the web right now. I don't know if this is going to be aired during Super Bowl, and they're already giving it. I can't imagine they would air it during Super Bowl.
Process has a theory on this. You might want to.
They're
going to
bring him back during the Super Bowl. There's no way they could kill him for good. No way.
No, they're going to rebrand him as Mr. Peanut Extreme. Kind of like how they got rid of Mr. Pib and it's Pib Extra. He's going to be like for the new 21st century lifestyle, for the 20s, man, Mr. Peanut Extreme.
So what's he going to be? Like, all roided up and everything? He's going to be all, he's going to get rid of that monocle.
Instead of the monocle, he's going to have some like sick ass sunglasses.
He had laser surgery, and he can see, like,
he's gonna have sunglasses and a ball and a flat bill. Mr. Peanut Extreme.
The commercial, he's driving, you can watch it. The guy's driving the peanut mobile. These people are driving the peanut mobile and they try and avoid an armadillo or some animal in the road. And the thing flips over and they all fly out the back and they're grabbing a branch and he's hanging on by his cane. And I'm not sure why he had to, I'm not sure how he saved them by letting go. Oh, because if he'd stayed on, he would have pulled the whole branch down.
Break. The branch
so he gave break. Up himself, and there you go. And so then he plunged to his death, much like when you see, you know, the coyote go fall at the bottom of the thing, and there was that. And then that's where they left it. But now he's got to come back. He has to come back. He has to. I mean, that's got to be during the Super Bowl. I agree with you. He has to come back. They don't show him at the bottom like all maimed.
But there's an explosion.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's in it. Yeah, but it doesn't mean he was in it. He might have rolled away. You know, it might have all been a dream like in Dallas. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of reasons.
Well, if he comes back and he's cracked.
I'm going to put this. You know what? That's going to be an online Twitter poll right now. And again, I'm going to predict 70 and another turnover against the press. I really got to stop watching this. It's making me sick. They should. They're still ahead by 7 with less than 4 minutes. And there's another stupid pass. Who threw that one?
Yeah, you can watch last night's replay of Georgia and Kentucky there. Watch
how
that game.
How did they lose that game? Unbelievable.
By the way, what did you think of the lady with the IU shirt right behind the Georgia bench?
Didn't see her.
Trolling. What?
Oh, I'm going to do an online fan Alfred's poll. Do you think Mr. Peanut comes back in some way or some form? And I guarantee you that the poll will, 85% will say yes.
All right, I kind of like that.
Texas says maybe he's coming out of his shell. And yuck.
Oh, this we had a person on the tweet line. Holy cow, the Fan Outfitters Twitter feed. He was sending in so many puns involving this. I got to read some of these. They were.
Do you know we have wild armadillos here in Kentucky?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I did not know that.
All right, I tweeted this, and he's. This is from at Jordan Chase S. Oh, at Jordan Chase, Jace Luck. I don't know. That's just his Twitter feed. It's Duncan Cardinal Bird. Mad respect. Old school. Love it. He tweeted, "That's freaking nuts. I hope he's not feeling salty about the situation." Okay, I'm done, but he lied. I mean, that's a straight hit to the nuts. It's not the kind of thing to crack jokes about. Ha 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 ha. So he was just on all kinds of peanut puns. I mean, I do think, I mean, it was... At the top,
Christine Lisi checked in from ESPN.
Christine Lisi?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
I put the video up of him dropping, and I said, "Well, that's effed up." And she wrote back, "I think it's more appropriate to say that was nuts."
Christine Lisi, the GOAT at SportsCenters on the national. This is
guy says he's going to come back as not Mr. Peanut. He's going to come back gender neutral.
Well, maybe just it'll be two nuts. Like he'll crack, and the two nuts in him will come back. It'd be the Nut Boys. Ooh, that's... No. Maybe not. By the way, this is the music I think I'm going to use for a new segment called Speed Round. Where we just... I mean, VCAP, you know, there's a sound bite. There's actual effort put into this. This is just kind of like the first thing that you think of. And there was a lot of stuff I wanted you to, you know, talk about. Maybe 2 cents on Walter McCarty getting let go at Evansville. Thoughts?
Well, that's simple. I think that they found out that there was some stuff going on that they objected to, and they did research. They found out they weren't people making empty accusations, and there were other instances of it. And so, I think that that's silly. silly behavior on his part. I mean, you don't spit where you eat, as they say. And I like Walter, but when you do that, they tell you to please remove your stuff from the office. So I do find it interesting. I don't know Todd Licklider very well, but he was the assistant there. Didn't come back this year for quote-unquote health reasons. He's not healthy enough to be the assistant, but suddenly, miraculously, he's healthy enough now to be the head coach.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a bit fishy. That's a little fishy.
It's already on Twitter. Now you didn't waste any time.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So at ESPN V-Show, Fan Outfitters Twitter poll. What is it? Will Mr. Peanut come back?
Do you think Mr. Peanut will come back? There's two votes so far. Two whopping votes.
There we go.
Dead even. 50-50.
Bam. There you go.
Locke voted no, of course, and everybody else is voting yes.
All right. So staying with the speed round, another thing local. Mekhi Becton coming in. You touched on it earlier. Daniel Jeremiah I think he's with NFL Network.
Yeah, if you're going to ask me about draft stuff, you might.
I know.
Let's just speak Latin. Let's talk Pig Latin.
Just any initial thoughts on I mean, him getting ranked so high? I mean, it was pretty well. I mean, pretty well accepted that, you know, yeah, he had a real chance to get drafted, obviously. But there were some mock drafts earlier in this year. I didn't even see him in them. So to be put in the top five, I mean, good Lord. Does that rustle your jimmies or not? Tickle your jimmies. There you go.
I think it means he's pretty good at football.
All right, moving on. So Florence Freedom, they're no longer the Freedom.
That. The Florence Nightingales was a good choice.
The Florence Henderson's. Florence Henderson's good.
Florence Yalls is the kid. No more calls. You got a winner. That's fantastic. And everybody knows the story because that sign.
But did
on the
you
water
see?
Tower.
Did you see the Twitter feed? They broke down the logo. I love stuff like this. I love it.
You're getting very aroused by the whole thing.
Okay, I'll put that on the mixtape. 250. Process Pop said aroused. All right, thumbs up. No. I love jersey design stuff. And I was talking before we had him on earlier this week. Scoop Jackson and I were talking about this. He's got a new piece coming out on SportsCenter about basketball jerseys. And I told him about a website I go to look at for hockey jersey stuff. The Florence Yalls. Their Twitter feed, they tweeted where the colors were coming from, which was really clever. It was the red and white from the water tower and the blue from the sky around it. So that's how they got the colors. But also the logo, Y'all, had a bunch of cool stuff in there. It was like written so that it would sort of be the shape of the state of Kentucky. And the apostrophe they're using is a star, which is a nod to the old name, the Freedom, and everything like that. It's a pretty cool little thing. But definitely, I think, up there.
Plus, if you look at it from a certain angle, I believe you see Yoko Ono. I'm not sure. It's got to be just at the right
there
angle.
There it is.
That, you don't think that's right?
No.
Yeah, I just thought I'd take a shot.
Also, U of L's football schedule.
Yep.
The 2020 schedule coming out today. From all accounts, and I mean, yeah, if you look at it, it's really you can't complain. It's a little back heavy, but I mean, you got Clemson early, but then there's a timely. I'm pulling it up right now. There's a timely bye week right smack in the middle. Any of these games kind of jumping out to you? It's September 3rd. They start with NC State at home, then Clemson on the road. September 12th, Murray State at home. September 19th, WKU at home. September 26th, October
3rd is Syracuse away. 10th is Boston College away. 24th is Florida State home. 31st is Virginia Tech home. 7th is Virginia away. 14th is Wake Forest home. 21st is Notre Dame away. And it ends, of course, with the home game against Kentucky. 8-5 this past year. Let's just say off the top of my head, without doing any analysis, not knowing any recruiting, you feel free, you idiot, how can you say that? Didn't you realize that team just signed 37 five-star recruits? They're going to actually have an entry in the NFL. I don't give a rat's ass. Here's what I think off the top of my head.
8-4.
NC State win. Clemson loss. Murray State win. Western win. Syracuse away. 50-50. Put it on hold. Boston College away. I want to say win, but let's bet it on 50-50 on hold. Florida State home. I'm saying it's a win. Sorry. Virginia Tech home. Wow. I don't know about that.
Perfect. The music's picking up right here as you do this.
Virginia Way. All right, let's see how many. Let's do it the other way. How many 50-50 games do we have? I've got Syracuse is a 50-50. Boston College is 2. Virginia Tech is 3, although that's home. Notre Dame is always lost. I think you got, we got 3. I think you've got, let's say, 4 50-50s, and let's see how many wins I like here. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think they're 8-4 in the regular season again. I think 8-4 is very realistic. And possibly
that's
9 and 3, depends on what you want to do with, do they win 3 of those 4 50-50s? Or do they win all of them, in fact? So who knows? But I, you know, well, the way I always do it is 50-50s, and give them half wins and half losses. So,
which were the 4 losses you had?
So I've got that. Tonight, Georgia Tech for Louisville is a game that I think you're going to have to look at. One thing, if you're just joining us, you're going to have to look at how well Georgia Tech takes care of the basketball, because they have had a problem turning the ball over all year. It's been their single biggest problematic statistic. They have some decent explosiveness for players. But the fact of the matter is, if you turn the ball over and they're live ball turnovers, they lead to fast break points. And right now, that has been Louisville's best offense. Even watching the game last year against Duke, where they're playing because they're not doing anything about Louisville, it's because of Zion. Zion makes his NBA debut tonight, so they're playing Zion games. And, of course, the Louisville game was incredible comeback from Duke's point of view, but as I watched it, I still can't believe that Louisville lost that game. But the fact of the matter is, when they put up that gigantic lead, they were running terrifically. They were, and this year they started the year not as effective in the break as I think they could have been, but they've gotten better. And I think their fast break offense has been their most effective offense for the last, I don't know, month or so. And so that's what tonight is going to be a big story of. Can they get stops, get clean rebounds so they can start their break, but as importantly, complement that with getting some live ball turnovers, which leads to transition, because that's going to be how they can put points on the board. This Georgia Tech team has won 3 road games. I don't think they're going to be daunted by that. They have a good guard. They have 2 good guards, actually. They have, I think, 4 double-figure scorers. They're not, you know, again, we're going to wind up having that same show again tomorrow. They didn't win by 30. You're pissed off or something. Every game's a different game. But I think those are the things to look at as some of the key points going forward for that game. Hey, Texter made a great point. He's going to come back as a fire roasted peanut. That's what he's going to come back as. See, that would have called for comment, but we didn't make him state his business.
That's intern Spunky asking about descriptions. Yes, for a podcast. Mm-hmm. You can check those out on SoundCloud and ESPN.
Texter says Mr. Peanut's coming back as a fire roasted peanut.
That's awesome.
That makes sense.
I like that.
See, I never know whether you hear it and you think it sucks, you hear it, or you've been interrupted. That's why I think I'm going to have to start embarrassing people again with State Your Business, because they're getting a little cavalier. And you absolutely will listen to everybody but me. I mean,
literally.
You spent 15 minutes with a Fuller Brush salesman during the show.
I literally just.
Now, that is a nice brush you bought.
I can multitask. I literally just repeated what you said to me while I was having that discussion and answering your accusatory question.
Just discussed that he's going head first.
Also, a caller told me we have a genitalia fact. The bush cricket, the biggest balls in comparison to its size
almost
on the planet.
Almost got through it all. Kaywood is not pleased.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a 4 seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.